coast to coast and border to border. It's Tailgate Radio.
Hey there, Tailgate Nation. The Grill Sergeant John Largent bringing you episode number 81 this week. 81 episodes of tailgating goodness as we blast the show to all 50 states, all provinces in Canada, and 49 countries across this big blue marble we call Earth. Thank you so much for downloading this week's show. We certainly do appreciate all the five-star reviews. If you want to join us over at iTunes, you can certainly do that. We got some big news for you as far as platforms. You can now listen to this show and all of the shows on the Game Day Media Network over at Google Play. Google Play. Thank you, Google Play, for allowing Tailgate Radio, TraxMac Radio, League of Legends Radio, and anything else we come up with to be listened to the vast conspiracy of people that listen to Google. You know, I've heard for many years that Google is owned and operated by our federal government, and if it's true, they're going to know how to party like a pro. So all you G-men out there with your men in black suits and glasses, you better roll up your sleeves and get ready to do some cooking. And speaking of cooking, I have to give a shout out to my good buddy, Mr. Blake Carson with Carson Rodizio. If you don't know what Carson Rodizio is, get on the Google machine and type in Carson, like Johnny Carson, except just Carson, or type in Blake Carson, B-L-A-K-E, Blake Carson, and check out the Carson Rodizio. Rodizio is also, this is a spelling class now, R-O-D-I-Z-I-O, Rodizio, Carson. Mine's on the way. It's on the FedEx truck. It's coming soon to a neighborhood near where I live. Hopefully my neighborhood, but a neighborhood where I live. If you haven't seen this thing, I'm giddy like a child on Christmas Eve. Because I've been looking forward to this thing. I've admired it from afar, and they had a fantastic Kickstarter campaign that just blew it out of the water. And this was way back last summer. And so this is what you call delayed gratification. And I am so excited to be getting this thing because it's going to take my grilling to the next level. Go check out Carson Rodizio on your Google machine, better known as your laptop or your smartphone. Take a look. He's got some really good videos, some fantastic videos that give you the essence of what Brazilian cooking and grilling looks like. And he's a Memphis boy right there in Memphis, Tennessee. Grew up, spent a significant amount of his time growing up down in Brazil. So he's a chef. He is a Mac Daddy as far as chefs go. And I'm so proud of him and excited for him and his company. And for selfish reasons, I'm excited that my very own Carson Rodizio is on the truck heading this way. So don't you dare hijack a FedEx or UPS or mail. I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I don't want anybody to take it. That's how much I'm coveting this thing. And hopefully by next week's show, I don't know if I'm going to have it by then, but if I do, I'm going to do a review of my experience, and also we'll probably put some video out on our website at tailgateradio.com, which you can always check out, Tailgate Radio. And our Twitter is blowing up over at Twitter at Tailgate Radio. And now you can listen to us in all these places, iTunes, Stitcher, the TuneIn app, Podomatic, SoundCloud, Roku, Apple TV, and now Google Play. We are rocking and rolling here at Tailgate Radio. And speaking of rocking and rolling, we've got a great guest. Part two of our interview with Dallas-Fort Worth sports personality, and I know he laughs every time I say that, Billy Quinton. He's an old college friend of mine. He's one of the funniest human beings on the planet. He's a sports junkie, I think is safe to say. And we're going to take the show completely off the rails this week and have a blast talking to Billy. We don't talk near as much as we should, but he will impart some great information to you and some great advice, and just can't wait to have that second part of our conversation this week. So when we come back from the break, we're going to have Mr. Billy Quinton. You can check him out over at cueballempire.com. He is a fantastic graphic designer. And if your school, university, tailgate club, anybody needs any top flight graphic design work, check out Billy Quinton. We'll be back, folks, right after this quick break. But first,
you ever wanted to be a grill master? Hi, everybody. This is the Grill Sergeant John Largo in Tailgate Training Camp. And if you've ever wanted to have that experience that you need to become the master of your grill, you need to be watching the Outdoor Cooking Channel. The Outdoor Cooking Channel features some of the best barbecue pit masters in the country today with great how-to tips, demonstrations, and full episodes where they're cooking some of their favorite dishes. So head over to the Outdoor Cooking Channel. Right now, you can find it at OutdoorCookingChannel.com. or on Roku at the Outdoor Cooking Channel. Do it today. Tell them the Grill Sergeant sent you. TheOutdoorCookingChannel.com.
I want to talk to you, too, about the fact of you being a lifelong Cowboys fan that I know, and I don't know if you still do, but I know at one time you were actually in a basketball league with several Cowboys that, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but some of these guys may have been some of your sports, I don't want to say heroes, but people that you really admired on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about that, and is it one of those situations where – you know, there's always that cautionary tale of be wary of meeting your sports heroes because you never know what you're going to get with those guys. So tell me about that.
Yeah, it was early 90s, and it was just another thing that I just kind of fell into. I'm a graphic designer, and I was working for a small agency. In fact, it was just me and the owner, and I believe he had a guy, another guy that was working there for us at the time. And had a small agency in Dallas, and one of our clients was DC Chemical, which was a company that Tony Dorsett and his and a friend of his business partner owned, and they were our client. And one day, and most of the time it was his partner that came by to talk to us about, you know, we do their marketing and things like that. And my boss, Steve, and myself, we played basketball a lot, and it just was an incredible coincidence that one day when you walked into our office, you walked right into this kind of front desk, and we were standing by the front desk and just talking about we need to get a team together for a city league. And as we're talking about it, Tony Dorsett walks in, which, of course, already I've never met him, and he walks in, and my knees go weak. He's like, holy cow, there's Tony Dorsett. And not only does he come in, he overhears us talking about getting a team together and just says, hey, man, if y'all are getting a team together, count me in. I'd love to play. And you're just in shock. And so Steve, who knew Tony, he was like, seriously, you would want to play? And he goes, yeah. And this is Tony had retired maybe the year before, a couple years before, you know. And he said, I got some guys that would be interested too. We need some competition. We need to do something. So we get a team together, and it was crazy. It was like a dream come true for me as on our basketball team. I'm trying to remember. We had Tony Dorsett, and one of his best friends was Tony Hill. So Tony Hill joins us. And then we had Everson Walls, Michael Downs, Doug Donnelly. Remember Doug Donnelly?
Oh, yeah.
And then Timmy Newsom. And so those were our main guys on the basketball team. And obviously we had a pretty good basketball team. We would go play. We played at the Campbell Center in Dallas. That was the city league we were in. And I really think big crowds would show up, and for a while there, I thought people were there just to watch me in my inside game. It's very impressive.
Now and, you brought the ball up, right? So you were controlling the tempo, and
I was pretty much, you know, I was happy they let me wear the same uniform, and we'd get in, of course, get in, play a little bit, but it was all about those guys. They were outstanding, and we had a pretty good team, and got to know them, and it was fun. It was a small window there of time that we did this, but it was more than just basketball. We after the games would go out to eat and hang out, and we would play poker now and then, and actually at Tony Hill's house. And we then had a softball team, decided to get a softball team together, and on the softball team were those guys, and then we added Drew Pearson, and then even Roger Staubach joined us a couple times to play softball, and had an outstanding season. And here's a little fun note, and I know we're going to get to this at some point, at least I hope we do. Our manager, our team manager, was James McReynolds.
Yeah.
And James is a good friend of ours from college, from the old Southwest Texas days. And James is our softball team manager. And so James, Tony Brissett was known for showing up late. He would not show up until about the game started. And so James one day was tired of it, and so he put, and Tony Brissett always led off. You know, he was a leadoff man, of course. He's very fast. Even after knee surgery, he's very fast. So James decides, and rightly so, I need to put him at the bottom of the order. That way, we're not penalized if he's not here, and we got to go to bat, and the guy's not here. So he puts Tony at the bottom of the order. And rightly so, Tony shows up late. So when you put him at the bottom of the order, you also put him as the DH, as the extra hitter. So he's not out in the field. So we go and hit. We're done. We go to the bottom of the inning. Everybody takes their place out in the field. Tony shows up. He's about ready to go into center field where he played. And James goes, no. I don't have you out there right now. And, of course, Dorsett's not happy about it. And he says, what do you mean you don't have me out there? And he goes, I don't have you out there. He goes, why? And he goes, well, you show up late all the time. And he goes, I'll never forget this. Tony tells James, you realize I'm a Hall of Famer, right? I remember James replying, not in softball. And you know James. And I know James. And James McReynolds will not back down to anybody. And so
That's awesome. They go
face to face. And they start going at it. And at that time, you know, Dorsett was the number two leading rusher of all time and the Cowboys' all-time leading rusher.
And so James benched him.
He did. James went at him. And nobody ever threw a punch or anything, but Tony got mad. James got mad. That's one of my vivid softball memories is that. It was greatness. But we had a ball, and it was for about a three-year window there that we all did that, and everybody kind of went their separate ways. And Tony Hill played with us in basketball for a few more years after that. And I know you played with us a few times. Was Tony on the team and you played with us?
Yeah, I think I played with you guys a couple of times. Yeah, I think we were playing either over in Richardson or there was somewhere else we played.
We played over in Richardson. Yes, exactly. Tony played in that league over there with us. Yeah, so, I remember Tony with us a few times. So, and you're right, a couple times, you know, these guys, there's a few egos, and so it would kind of, you know, disappoint you the way they would either talk to other people or whatever. But it wasn't too bad. Most of them were outstanding. But there was a couple moments where you're like, oh, boy, this isn't good. But
yeah,
other than that, it was a really great experience and had a ball. The thing I remember would be they also formed a company, Tony Hill and Dorsett formed a company called Legends, and they would go play charity softball games, basketball games, and things like that with high school. They'd play other high school teams, and they would raise money for that high school, and then they would sign autographs afterwards and stuff to raise money. And, you know, they would get a cut, and then the majority of the money would go back to the school or whatever organization's trying to raise money. And Dorsett would complain that he had to sign autographs. He didn't like it. He didn't want to sign autographs. And then when somebody didn't ask for an autograph, he would complain that nobody was asking him for his autograph. And I just remember that was always funny to me. I didn't, you know, it's like you got to have one way or the other.
You know, I have that same I have that same issue, and I'm sure you do too. You know, it's like
all the time.
Well, but it sounds
I can't even leave my office.
That's right. And it sounds like that experience, though, was overly positive at the end of the day, playing with those guys.
Oh, 95% of it was over. And even the 5% was just, you know, big shots being big shots. And I actually enjoyed that, too, just to see them, you know, like, wow, okay, I can never say that, but I guess they can, you know, or whatever. And so they would, you know, just it was a ball. I was shocked that, but remember, this is an era, these players played in an era in the 70s and 80s that isn't like now where the athlete and the fan are so far separated,
And
back then, you know, even, you know, I can't imagine right now that, you know, you just pick anybody that Dez Bryant is going to overhear somebody and say, yeah, I'll play in your league. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen. First of all, you know, he's playing now, so he wouldn't allow him. But even if he'd retired, I don't think that he would do that. He might. Maybe he would. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I think it's just a different era now. But it's a great, great time in my life. And I ended up, I was dating my Autumn, who is now my wife, and I'm very confident that it made me look much better than what I really was, and that's how I got her to marry me. So yeah. I am thankful for that time. It looked like I was way more important than I was.
Did you ever get confused with a former cowboy and people come up and ask for your autographs? At any of those?
One time, they thought it was Bill Bates, because at that time, I'm bald now, but at that time, I kind of had the Bill Bates-looking hair. Was about his size, and I would. There was a couple times people thought I was Bill Bates.
Nice.
You know, yeah. And I did, I have to admit, I did one time sign an autograph as Bill Bates. I did. So there's somebody out there with a bogus Bill Bates autograph framed, you know, with his picture next to me. So,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's something that me and my maker will have to discuss whenever I meet him. That you know, one of my many, many sins.
That's right. That's right. Well, yeah. I'm here with Billy Quinton, and as we're recording this, we're wrapping up one of the biggest sports events of the year, and you know, of course, I'm talking about WrestleMania.
sure.
No, the Final Four is this weekend. We don't yet have a winner. That's tonight. But I'm just curious, what are the top five sporting events you look forward to on a regular basis?
Well, one of them is this. I do love I enjoy more the Thursday and Friday when that tournament starts, when the NCAA tournament starts. I just think that's a blast. And I'm blessed enough to, you know, I'm on my own business, so I can just sit in my office and pop on these games. And now that you have the internet where you can, you know, pop on these different games on your iPad, have it on a TV, and you can have like three or four games going at the same time. To me, that's just a ball. And it's even better when our old our Bobcats make that rare appearance into the NCAA tournament, but that's been few and far between. But, no, I enjoy that tremendously. That's one of my favorite times. I love football. We've been talking about it. And the first weekend of Texas high school football, I love that. I love that weekend. When everybody's got a shot, everybody, and you know that every stadium across Texas is pretty full, and the bands are going, the cheerleaders, it's just ready to roll, and I just think that's one of the greatest scenes, heck, in America.
Yeah,
Texas high school football, going to one of those games.
And for some folks that are not based in this part of the world, and we have listeners in 49 countries and all over Canada and all over the U.S., paint the picture of about what a Friday night in Rockwall looks like. What? How many people are in the stands? What is that atmosphere like? Because I don't think most fans outside of Texas, maybe Florida and some parts of California get it, but in Ohio maybe. But talk about that atmosphere, because I've been to a college or a high school game with 30,000 fans.
Yes.
And that's not an unusual occurrence.
Well, when you build high school stadiums that are 30,000 capacity, like Allen did, and now I think McKinney's going to do that, and Frisco's getting one. The Cowboys are involved with that, but you know that people turn out, and it's just it's a religion. And I know that word is used a lot, but it's true about this, that no matter where you're at, I grew up in Lampasas, and I played, and we were not a good team when I played, but that place was packed. And now a lot of it was, there's nothing else to do, and everybody revolves around that team. And there's little towns, like in the Hill Country or in West Texas or something, when that team is playing in another town, that town's shut down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it, where, you know, every business is closed, and you're off, you know, Lampasas is off playing Lano. Well, you know, I hope you don't need anything in Lampasas, because it's sealed up. And right. If you're a burglar, you know, that's a prime time to go hit one of these towns. Just look at the football schedule, and you got your pickings, because everybody's gone. Now, Rockwall, larger, is a little bit larger community, but we have a stadium, got a brand-new stadium, or I say brand-new, it's now golly, about 8 years old, I still think of it as new, but we have a stadium that can hold up to 10,000, I think, as its capacity if we, you know, need something to a big event there. And we have a rival, Heath High School, that's in our same district, and when those two teams play, it's packed. You have to put extra stands in the end zone, things like that. and it's just crazy. It's loud. It's bands are going at it. Like I said, the cheerleaders, the fans, you have the big smoke and the heavens, and it is an event. It's an event that starts. The game may kick off at 7, but you know, you're going to be in the parking lot much sooner than that, and this falls right into your expertise with the tailgating and things like that. When I was growing up, they didn't tailgate at high school games. Now you tailgate at a lot of high school games, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes even a more organized event at, you know, some of these high school games where you've got sponsors and booths and tents and everything else that are setting everything up. So when it's game day on a Friday, you might as well just not, you know, plan on anything else. If everybody's going to the football game, and period. And that's that way all throughout Texas. It ain't just Rockwall, Lampasas, and anything else. I know, I'm sure in Kirbyville, it was the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were growing up. And so that's just it. It's an event, and it's one of the greatest things. If you want to go do something special in a different state, you know, and you need to go to a high school football game in Texas. It needs to be on your bucket list because it's an outstanding thing.
Yeah. So you mentioned Final Four, first weekend, first week of high school football. What are your three other top sporting events of the year?
Well, two more football, of course. I love that first weekend of NFL football. I love the that Thursday night game that they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have all day Sunday, where my family knows they're not going to see me. If they do want to see me, they need to come into my, you know, my man cave, and they can sit with me while I watch football. But thank God for NFL Red Zone. They get you all those games and all the big moments of those games. I'll put it on NFL Red Zone, unless it's the Cowboys, and of course I'm watching the Cowboys. And then you have that Monday night where you, most of the time now, they have two games on Monday night. I just think that's one of the greatest weekends in sports is that. I love that. And then, of course, the college football Saturdays. Once that again, I'm a big first weekend or start of a season guy because there's a lot of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, the championship games are outstanding. I love those. Super Bowls and college championships and even high school, you know, like we do all these Rockwall Yellow Jacket games, and Rockwall's a pretty good team, so we get to go pretty far in the playoffs most of the time, at least we have for the last few years. But even if your team's not in it, like I said, you know, here in Dallas especially, they'll have a lot of the games there at the Cowboys Stadium, and that place is packed, and it ain't all the fans of the team. It's just people loving football.
Yeah.
And so college football, same way, that passion. You love that passion for your teams, and me and you have met, you know, a few times to go see our Bobcats play, and
mm-hmm.
and even Texas State's starting to get into that. You know, they've got a new stadium and getting some big teams in there and trying to grow up and be in Division One. And to me, that's just outstanding. I love that whole atmosphere. And then finally, today, I got the game on right now as we're talking, the opening day in baseball. It doesn't beat, nothing really beats that. Rangers are down 2-0 right now. I'm not really happy about that, but, you know, that you got that going on, and you know now that at least most every night, at least we're going to have a baseball game on.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I love that feeling, you know, because I hate evenings when there's no sport on, and I don't necessarily watch it. I just like knowing that it's on.
And checking in on, you know, it every. But I agree with you too. I think the beginning of every season there's so much optimism. Every team, and you're not quite sure how the season's going to go. And so I think from what we do here, and you know, I get to travel every weekend to different stadiums, and you know, I love, especially for two reasons. First part of the season, everybody thinks they have a chance. So more people are out in the parking lots. It's always a party atmosphere. And two, the weather is not. Now, we don't have to worry about it too much down here, but, you know, I've had the pleasure of, you know, tailgating all over the country, including in Canada and Buffalo and some really cold weather. And those, I will give it to the fans that tailgate in November and December in places like Buffalo and Chicago and Green Bay and some of those places, because it is a it's a different. I mean, you're prepared for battle because you're battling the elements just to, in some cases, and I've been there, just to dig out a place to drop your 10x10 tent, you know, your canopy tent. So I'm with you though. I think those are great choices, and you know, that's the great thing about this time of year, spring, you know, well, they say spring, there's always optimism, and so
there is. It's great. And you talk about Chicago. You know, me and my son went to Chicago a couple of years ago to go see the Cowboys play the Bears, and it was right after Thanksgiving, and that was one of the coldest, maybe the coldest I've ever been. Was walking into Soldier Field, and those guys were out there tailgating, and like it was, you know, 75 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I barely made it. It was crazy. And so the guy sitting next to, I said, man, this is, I've never been this cold. And he goes, oh, this is a nice spring day for us. And he goes, y'all got to toughen up. You Cowboys have that indoor stadium. You got to toughen up. And I said, I know. But I do enjoy your little cute little video boards y'all have here. Those are nice. But, you know, everybody has their. But, yeah, I agree with you. Those people that go out there and do that and can brave the elements and stick it out for their team and all that, that's just something special. And you know, we have our heat here. Those are one things I think a lot of people, it's hard for them to adjust. You know, these Ranger games.
Yeah,
In a couple months they're going to be pretty hot, and it's going to be tough. But you still go out there and you love it, and that's the great thing about sports, you know. And so, and you know, when you ask me about my favorite things, it's funny how I keep coming back to the beginning of the seasons for most of them, because you know I do enjoy now. I think it's going to be a great tradition. That college football playoff. I think that's going to be something that could be big. It already is, but maybe be an event like the Super Bowl if. I think they have to change the date. I think having it on New Year's Eve is an issue because there's too many things for people that are doing. You got to move that, but I know they can't move it for at least another year or two. But I think that has the possibility of being something really cool too. I'm very happy that they've gone to that playoff in college football. So you know that could be something too.
I'm here with Billy Quinton. We're starting to wrap it up here as he's got business to do. But before we go, have a couple of other quick questions for you. You know. Being a broadcaster and, you know, growing up with just some, you and I probably, we're the same age, and so we probably had some very similar influences. But if you could call a game with any broadcaster that's either with us or has gone on to the great booth in the sky, who would be your top three?
Well, of course, John, I would love to do a WrestleMania with you. That would be top of the list.
Hey, they had 102,000 people in AT&T Stadium last night.
That's crazy. And I'm not a wrestling guy. I never followed it as a kid. I never really watched it. But it is amazing. Last night was crazy. I have to give it up to them that they got 102,000 people to come watch. And it was, from what I understand, everybody left happy. It was highly entertaining. So a lot of big celebrities were there. It's kind of a cool deal.
Yeah.
As far as announcers, well, again, being a homer, I absolutely love Brad Sham, the Cowboys radio guy. I just think he's outstanding. I think he does a great job. I just like the way he does the game, so almost casual. He doesn't overdo it. And, you know, and you keep talking about, you know, you're asking these questions. I'm a peon high school football announcer, but I just, you know, love. I try to pattern what I do a lot by how he does it, where, you know, you want to step away from the action and let the action speak for itself sometimes, and then, you know, and of course in radio it's harder to do, but we do video sometimes too, and you want to let that moment go. But I really like him, and I've had the pleasure to the opportunity really to be around him a couple times at our Rotary Club, and Brad has visited us a few times, and I've had the pleasure of introducing him both times when he spoke to us, and I joke around with him about, you know, if you ever, you know, want to take this job seriously and get a few pointers, he's always more than welcome to join us in the Yellow Jacket booth just to kind of, you know, see how to do it, you know, because if you want to be unprofessional, we can show you how to be unprofessional. And so, anyway, he's always outstanding. He's always like, hey, you're never too old to learn. And so he's a really good guy. So that'd be one guy that I would love to. Just basically, I don't have to call a game with him. I'd love just to sit in the booth with him. A couple others, you know, as I think about it, Keith Jackson from
Jackson.
College football days.
Yes.
And that's it. You cannot say Keith Jackson without somebody going, a bull or whatever, something like that.
Warren Nelly.
He's our youth, you know. Yeah. That's who we grew up with in college football when you had that game on Saturday. Alabama, and you know, and he just knew, you knew who it was, and that would be something special to be able to be in a booth with that guy, and because there was no big college football game that he wasn't at. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, I keep going back to my childhood, the other one would be Vince Scully. Mm. I absolutely think Vince Scully is baseball.
Yeah.
You know, and same thing. When we were growing up, for those that are, probably under 40 years old, you have no idea what it was like when you grew up, and people older than us are probably telling us, hey, we didn't even have that. But you didn't get your team's games. You didn't get all of them.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm a big Ranger fan. And I remember growing up, you didn't get all the Ranger games. You hoped that they made it on the Saturday game of the week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, now and then you would get a local broadcast. Now and then they would do it. But they certainly didn't do all of them.
You're right. And, you know,
Vince
one of the
Scully
things.
Was the voice.
Yeah, Vince Scully, and he was with the Dodgers organization
right.
also forever. But he also called those Saturday games of the week a lot of times. And I also remember growing up, we had just gotten cable television, and we got WGN. And so I grew up coming home and throwing my book bag down and watching the Chicago Cubs with Harry Carey and Milo Hamilton.
Amen, brother.
And became a fan of theirs through osmosis because they played mostly day games as well as the Superstation where we would get Skip Carey calling the Atlanta Braves games, and Dale Murphy was just like Superman.
He was, and Ernie Johnson, Skip Carey and Ernie Johnson.
That's right.
Doing the Braves games, and then you're right. And that's the other one I was going to mention. I know you only told me three, so those would be three that I would do the broadcast with. I would love to do broadcast. The one announcer I'd like to hang out with after the game would be Harry Carey. Because you know you're going to have a good time with Harry Carey because he was drunk on the air.
He was a Bud man and a Cubs fan, and he would talk about everything. He was unbelievable.
It didn't matter. Check out the kid in the sombrero. You know, he didn't care. And that's what I love. I loved that he would be so happy when the Cubs did well, and he was so just disappointed when they would lose.
Sometimes disgusted. Sometimes disgusted when they would lose.
Oh, very disgusted. When that last out was made, it would be, and it'll be caught, Cubs lose. You know, and he's just pissed. He's just mad.
Oh,
and it's like, just go to a break. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And I love that.
One of the vivid memories I have of Harry Carey is, for some reason, every week on one of the day games, he would read the poem fan of the week during the game. And I remember it was like late in the seventh or eighth inning. So he was lit. You know, he was already.
Oh, sure. By then he was always lit. Yeah.
And he was like, and this poem comes to us from Sally Riedemann from Kankakee, Illinois. Ron Say, strike one. And here's the poem. The Cubs win. They're going to do it again. Oh, a little outside. 1-1, Ron Say. And it was just, this poem went on for like 2.5 innings until the end of the thing. It was ridiculous, but it was so funny. And then he always ended it by this week's fan poem brought to you by Budweiser. And it might have been like an 8-year-old child that wrote the poem. It was just.
There's nobody like him. That was the thing. The Bob Uecker bit, if you ever heard Bob Uecker do him, and he goes, I think even if we had a nuclear attack, he would still. Whoa, there's a mushroom cloud over the left center field wall. That's an 0-1 count. That ball's right in there, right down the pipe. And so, Ron Say, 2-for-3 so far. Like, there's another mushroom cloud. People are running as the count evens up 1-1. You know, and it was outstanding. And that was him. And he didn't care. He would talk about things going on in the crowd. And he wasn't politically correct.
No,
you know?
No.
And
no.
It was outstanding, man. It was just the best. And so, I was like you, man. Anytime the Cubs were on, I listened and I watched, and it wasn't as much because of the Cubs. It was like, I just want Harry Carey I want the wheels to go flying off.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And my goodness. And then, of course, no other announcer could do what he did with the seventh inning stretch singing. And I've had I missed it by 1 year when Autumn and I went to Chicago 1 year, and we went to a game at Wrigley, and it was the year after he passed away. And they were rotating the different people that would sing to
yeah.
the ball game, but it was just the great feeling of being at Wrigley and all that. And those kind of guys, we're not going to have anymore. And that's the problem. You're not going to have Harry Carey. Gary and those kind of personalities, because it, to me, it's too polished a
right.
lot.
They weren't cosmetically appealing. You know, if you think about Howard Cosell and Harry
right.
Carey and some of these guys, they just didn't have the look, but man, could they enthrall you, and they were as much part of the game and the voice. And you know, it's like all those NFL films with Fonseca doing the narration. You know, those are just things that don't exist anymore. And
and right now, even in high school sports here in Texas, at least, you know, with there's a number of announcers, and there's a lot of good ones. And you know, I'm at the Sports Gram Network, and it has about I don't know the exact number, but I think at least 10 to 12 high schools that it does all these games for. So the announcers will all get together a lot of times. Before the season starts, you get to talk with them and stuff. We have some really good ones. But there's some that they're really, they want to be as impartial as possible, and they want to be and I don't understand that on my end. I'm the other way around, because it's high school sports. I understand it if you're doing a professional game or even someone to a college, but even there I don't. But nobody tunes in. When you're tuning into your high school game, you're tuning in because you love that team, and you are more than likely were a part of that team as far as either going to that school or played or whatever. And I think you want those announcers to be up and down with that team. And that's what we do. Mm-hmm. We always joke around that we're the most unprofessional broadcasters around. We will, you know, use the call that you played earlier. I mean, it's us getting excited. We don't care. I don't care. We're going to be as professional as possible about that other team. We're not going to say anything bad about that other team or anything like that. But, boy, we sure do care about, you know, that orange out there, which, and yes, I'll go ahead and address it. Yes, we're the Rockwell Yellow Jackets, and we're orange, and that's the way it goes.
Let me tell you a quick story about that. Lano is also the Yellow Jackets, and they're also orange. And
we played them when I was growing up.
I inquired about that. Come to find out, during World War II, for some reason, there was something that prevented either yellow fabric or yellow paint, or mm-hmm. there was something, because it was all going to the military, and so there was a run on yellow during that time, and so all of the teams that were formed and mascots that were created were they had to find a default color. I don't know if that's the case
yes.
with Rockwall, but I heard that's the reason why, and I had no idea.
Yeah, there, I believe, and I you know. I talked about Coach Webb, our head coach here at Rockwall. His wife grew up in Atlanta, so she's like, I've gone to the two towns in Texas that are Yellow Jackets that are orange. And our story is slightly different. There's a little town next to us, you know, back when they first, you know, Rockwall's been playing football for 100 years, and there's a little town named Roy City right down the road. They were the Bulldogs, or they are the Bulldogs, and they were yellow and black, and they already had their team established, had their uniforms, but Rockwall wanted also to be yellow and black, and Roy City refused to change their colors. So Rockwall decided to go orange, because when a Yellow Jacket gets angry and is stinging, the tail turns orange.
Yeah.
So that's why they decided to go with the orange color, because that's what happens. And for years, when Rockwall made a run for state championships, they won the state championship in 63, but in the 80s, they made it to the state championship one year and made it to the semis the next. They were known as the Angry Orange. They weren't known as much as the Yellow Jackets. It was the Rockwall Angry Orange.
Hmm.
And so, but the great stories, you know, when you talk about Lano or here at Rockwall or these others, you know, you got these great, it's Texas high school football, and I know it's like this also in other states and all that, but these stories, teams, why are they the Hutto Hippos and things like that? And, you know, and that's what's great about it. But yeah, and so, you know, that's, for us, it's kind of, you know, we don't really think much of it that we're orange. I remember when I first moved to Rockwall, I was very, very disturbed by it. And then once they told us why, it's like, all right, well, then now I'm on the other end. You don't challenge us on that orange. We're orange. I don't need to hear from you. You know, you just go that other direction. But it's a great tradition, and that's what's fun about, you know, about all these high school teams.
Well, before we go, Billy, you have a very successful design company called Cue Ball Design. You know, the Tailgate Nation, There are so many tailgate clubs. There are thousands of tailgate clubs, and they many of them have organized to the point where they have shirts, they have logos, they have designs. Tell us about what you can do, and if anybody's interested in contacting you about your services or wants to tune in to listen to you to call the action this year, how can they find out more about you and your company and how they can listen to your mighty world famous broadcasting
the Homer calls.
Homer calls. There you go.
Yeah, the orange Homer calls. Well, first of all, thanks for the plug. Yeah, Cue Ball Design. It's QBALL. With my last name being Quentin and my hair pattern, you can figure out how that name came along. But yeah, we're just a marketing and graphic design company. It started 15 years ago here in Rockwall, and it just kind of grew. And we've been blessed to continue for this long. And we do graphics and marketing for any type of business. I mean, we everything ranges from a mom and pop shop to I do stuff for AT&T or, you know, some other large companies. So we can take care of you. We're heavily involved in a lot of sports or, you know, athletic teams. I've done most of the logos for the schools here in Rockwall and other surrounding schools, you know, as far as their mascots and things like that. I do a lot of things for the teams around here. We just got finished doing the poster and the program for the Rockwall baseball team, where that is a baseball season's well underway in high school. And so we do all that kind of stuff, and whatever you need graphics wise, we can handle it. Especially like what you mentioned, if somebody has a tailgate club and they need a logo or they want some banners done or even a website or whatever it is, we can take care of you. And, it's something that I enjoy and love, and we've got a pretty good reputation. We do some really good work. So if you want to know more about Cue Ball Design, just go to cueballempire.com. It's cueballempire.com, and there's a lot of our stuff on there, what we've done, and it's been a pretty good deal. As far as Yellow Jacket games, go to sportsgram.net, and that's an outstanding company, the Sportsgram Network, and they have done so much for high school sports here in this area, where so many teams get to have their games broadcast. And now with this whole age of the internet, you know, for our last football game in the playoffs, we made it to the quarterfinals. They estimated, you know, you can measure the hits. They estimated we had 10 to 12,000 listeners for that game, because no matter where you're at, as with your show, they can listen. And we'll get listeners from, you know, graduates or people that are interested from anywhere from Afghanistan to Switzerland or whatever. If they're in the Army and the military, we got people listening in then, and we got people from all over. And you get it crystal clear. And it's a great, great website. And SportsGram does it right as far as, like I said, you can listen to the game live. Or if you can't listen live on Friday night, you can go download the video or just watch it. You don't have to download it. You can just watch the game. And so if anybody's listening, it's Old Yellow Jackets. There you go. You can get it anywhere. It's something that we didn't have when we were young. You had to be there or hear the game, you know, while it was being played. But now there's so many schools that have this this great opportunity, and then technology is outstanding that we can do this. So gives these kids that play now huge opportunities that they can pull their plays, and it helps them as they hopefully can maybe keep playing on Saturdays or, you know, at the next level in college, where they can pull those videos, and you got websites like huddle.com and things like that really, really help out these kids and the coaches. So there you go. There's my plug, dude. I really appreciate it.
Hey, well, thank you so much for coming in. It's been way too long having you on the show, and would love to have you back. And we're going to have to make this a regular thing, because you just have so many great stories, and it's just a blast talking to you.
Well, I'm glad you said that. Real quick, we cannot do this without talking about, first of all, there's two things. One, we have to mention, you said we got to do this again at some point, and I know people don't know us, but if we get a round table of the knuckleheads from Southwest Texas, it would be highly entertaining.
Well, we
do have to mention those guys.
Yes, and it's interesting that you mention that, because I do have a brand new portable studio that we can actually take with us anywhere that we need to go and can set up a professional studio on the go in a restaurant, at a table, in a building. So that's pretty scary that we can do that for a number of reasons, but I think that could be some seriously funny shenanigans with some of the personalities we know.
Exactly. And let's Stuart, James, Jimmy, Pierre, Ron, Mike, Paul, John Juarez, Renee, and Matt. We got to get those guys out there, those names. And before we go, have you told your listeners about let me put it to you this way. Do you still have the old woman peasant costume that you wore in college? Do you still have that?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Billy Quinton, and we... We will definitely bring that up the next time you're on, because that's a...
I think it needs to come up right now. I think it needs to be talked about right now.
Okay.
And I know you have the power of editing, and I may not make errors, but well, I think your listeners need to know.
Go ahead. Before you start, let me just say there's a disclaimer that this is probably highly, highly... over the time, over the years, things, you know, details get blurry. So this is a highly suspect story that you're about to hear.
No, this is all factual. This is all factual. It was a tradition with our group that whoever's birthday, they got that many licks. We would catch them at some point on your birthday, and we didn't know when. It wasn't going to be that morning. At some point, we were going to ambush you, hold you down, and beat the hell out of you. How many, you know, at that time we were 18, 19, 20 years old, and we would whip you that many times with a shoe, belt, whatever it was. It was painful.
It was hurt.
Am I right so far?
you're absolutely correct. Right? This part is very accurate.
So the whole goal, basically for our college years, your birthday was the worst day in the world because you knew you were going to get beat up. So John decides, you know, Tailgate Radio, John Largent, decides I'm not going to get caught one year when your birthday rolled around. and we could not find you for the longest time until we saw this, oh, how can I put it, this woman walking into our door. And it was an older woman. It looked like she was, I don't know, from Yugoslavia. I'm not really sure what the whole goal here was for you, but she had like a shawl and a hat and some sort of dress to where we're like, who's that? Is that a grandma coming to visit her son? What is going on? So we figured out it was none other than John Largent. And we finally caught you as you tried to exit the elevator. And, you had hell to pay. I remember that. That's one of my favorite memories. But
yeah.
You thought, of all the costumes in the world, I'm going as a Yugoslavian woman. I think this will fool them. And they'll never find me.
And it would have worked if it weren't for you meddling kids, because I got away with it for most of the day.
You did. I assume you went to class.
I did. I did. I walked through the quad. I totally engaged in that character for the day, and it still.
Oh man, that was absolute greatness. And so I distinctly remember that because if you could make it through the day, you weren't going to be whipped. You made it to the next day.
Yeah, because you couldn't go back. It had to be on that day.
No. So you just had to get through that day. And so, but you decided to be a Serb grandmother was such an excellent choice. Oh, man, that's going to be something that's etched in my brain for the rest of my life.
Oh, you man.
In a men's dorm as a peasant woman. It's greatness.
Your work here is done, and I just want to thank you so much for your time. It's a blast having you on, and man, I haven't laughed like that in a long time. And we don't talk near enough, and it's always good. It's always good talking to you, and we need to make that round table happen. I think that would be comedy gold. I mean, just
it needs to be done, and I can tell how proud I am of you and all your success and your outstanding job with this with Tailgate Radio, and your website and the Facebook. I love watching all the videos and all the different scenes around the country. So you're doing an outstanding job there, too.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. And we look forward to many great calls and more homer calls from you this coming season with the Rockwall Yellow Jackets. And we will definitely have you on again prior to the kickoff of next fall season, and we'll probably do some other things as well. So I really appreciate your time. Billy Quinton, everybody, don't forget to check him out at cueballempire.com to check out his business and listen to him over at SportsGram and with the Rockwall Yellow Jackets. And when we come,
and for the record, there's nobody that has made it this far in the interview. It's been turned off way before to this point. Just want to let you know that.
All right, folks, that's going to about do it for this week's show. I want to thank Billy Quinton for coming in here, sharing some great stories, spreading some lies about me, by the way. And I look forward to doing that again with him. And there are some other cast of characters that we need to get. And he came up with a great idea. We've got to figure out when and where we're going to do this roundtable, because there is an eclectic group of people that we spent our college years with, as probably a lot of you that went to college did as well. And, you know, you always look back at those times and think, wow, I should have had a recorder playing, or wow, I'm glad I didn't have a recorder playing, depending on the situation. But I want to thank Billy so much for coming in and just being a fantastic guest and just telling some great stories. That's going to about wrap it up here for this week's episode number 81 of Tailgate Radio. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank our sponsors. Make sure to head over to our website at tailgateradio.com. Also over at Twitter, and send us a tweet at Tailgate Radio. We also are doing these blabs and these periscopes on Fridays. So check those out. Also at Tailgate Radio, just go to blab.im. And look up Tailgate Radio, and you'll find us, or Periscope at Tailgate Radio as well. For everybody here at Game Day Media and Tailgate Radio, as we always say, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we will see you in the parking lot. Catch you on down the road. And I'm looking for that Carson Rodizio. I hope it's on the way right now. And next week, I hope to have a review of that awesome piece of cooking machinery. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Tailgate Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Pong is strictly prohibited.